Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Outdoor rainy weddings just brings a very bad vibe sometimes. I know a lot of people say that, oh, it's good luck when it rains on a wedding day. It rained on mine, but it was indoors.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Let's be real. It just requires luck in a marriage in general. I don't think the rain on a wedding day is really going to matter in the grand scheme of things. You need luck and effort and all that other stuff.
Well, on WGR.
Grit.
Certainly.
You need grit for your weddings. You need grit. Compete. Fourth line grit. I need sleep. What the hell's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Sports Radio 550.
Still need grit and compete for a wedding, for any marriage. 1 hour left to go here on Sports Talk Saturday. Brayton Wilson here with you, filling in for Nate Geary. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Had plenty of Bills talk, plenty of football talk in the first 2 hours. We did mention some hockey talk here coming up as an interesting topic and debate has sprung up, courtesy of a tweet from Pierre LeBrun. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You can also vote in our Twitter polls that we have going on today. 3 months into the Bills season, how would you grade them? A lot of people have them as an A, 53%. 44% of people have them at B, and then 3% have them at either C or D or worse.
I've got a really dumb question for you here.
Okay, what's your question?
All right, here we go. How far is too far in a pile when it comes to tackling? Like when it comes to too petty, not even necessarily like a dog pile for a fumble, just a regular tackle.
Six bodies.
And I mean, like antics wise, would taking off a shoe be overly ridiculous?
Yes.
Because that just happened between Michigan and Ohio State.
Untying a shoe, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Not even
penalty.
Untying, just taking it off.
Huh. Like
they took the shoe off of Ohio State's J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. That seems a little ridiculous.
But he gets the ultimate revenge by walking in for a touchdown.
Right. The other team is probably doing it just so he has to go off the field for a play to get his shoe back on. And it's just stupid. Just don't bother trying to take the shoe off.
I don't know, man.
Focus on trying to stop him. That's all you have to do.
Dude, it is college football. You know the same rules do not apply. I'm for this. You try to do something to throw that guy off, especially with a rivalry game like Ohio State, Michigan. I'm for it.
Yeah. The game. Still stupid. Come up with something better. Please. 803-0551, 888-552-550. That wasn't a stupid question, Derek. That was completely fair.
It was stupid in nature, I would say. Silly, I should say.
All right, so now is an interesting time to debate this topic. And of course, you can call us, you can give us your thoughts, please. We want to get more people's view on this because I think this is an important topic for the Sabres, especially now that the talk has continued to come about with, hey, this team needs some forward help. They have a stockpiled load of defensemen on this team. Why don't we go get some forward help, especially with some of the injuries we've got right now? Vladimir Sobotka likely out for a long while because of his knee injury. You still don't have Tage Thompson or Kyle Oposo ready because they have concussions. Rasmus Dahlin and Kyle Oposo. Tage Thompson has an upper body injury that he's going to be out another 3 to 5 weeks for. Now is the question of, okay, who can we go out there and acquire in a trade to help this team? There is one name that has popped up today, courtesy of Pierre LeBrun, that is certainly, I think, of peak interest for many people around the NHL. Pierre LeBrun tweets this 34 minutes ago, and I quote, "Hearing that the Devils have started to listen from teams on Taylor Hall doesn't mean they will for sure trade him, but given their place in the standings and the magnitude of a potential deal, GM Ray Shiro is now in listening mode. And he also adds on to this tweet saying, if and when he's dealt, I would expect the deal to have a conditional nature to it. So if he resigns with his new club, there will be additional assets. Either way, this isn't necessarily a deal, if it happens, that must wait until the February 24th deadline. So pretty much, if a team acquires Taylor Hall, the deal will probably require, I would guess, a first-round pick or multiple first-round picks and probably some other assets. Would you want the Sabres to make this deal? Is it time for the Sabres to go make this deal now, especially with the fact that this team is already trying to look for forward help? Or are you of the mindset of, we can't be giving up any more assets, we don't have the space, and it is tough because the Sabres don't have any projected cap space. Zero, for that matter. Their cap hit is at $85 million, a little over $85 million. They have $3.5 million in projected long-term injured reserve use, and with that, of course, zero cap space. Their current cap space right now, as we speak, is $1.1 million, but if this trade's going to happen, you've got to move out some dollars in return. Taylor Hall's current contract right now is $6 million average annual value. He's on the last year of his contract, so he's a free agent at the end of the year, an unrestricted free agent, can go anywhere, sign anywhere, do whatever he wants to do in free agency. However, Sabres did do this in similar terms with Jeff Skinner. Although they acquired him before the season started, traded for Skinner, let him play out his final year of his contract that he signed with the Canes, and did really well, scored 40 goals. Then he re-signed in the offseason to a very healthy contract with an average annual value of $9 million. The Sabres right now have their two highest players in Skinner at 9 and Jack Eichel at 10. Marcus Johansson is after that at 4.5, but here's the problem. The Sabres do have some free agents that are coming up that probably need new contracts. The biggest one is Sam Reinhart. He's a restricted free agent, age 24, making $3.65 million right now. And if I had a guess, if he continues to produce like he has, that cap number is probably going to go up to like $7 million. I'd say that the cap that he's making right now is probably going to double at least. Because last year he put up a really good year, and this year he's been a little quiet lately, but still he's putting up decent production and he's playing relatively well. Mind you, I think that it's time for Sam Reinhart to go on another line, be split up from Jack Eichel, and I think it's time to maybe get a little fire lit under him to produce on another line and run a second line. But nonetheless, Sam Reinhart is going to be a restricted free agent at the end of the year. Other free agents include Connor Sherry, Jimmy Vesey, Zemgus Girgensson, Johan Larsson, Zach Bogosian, Marco Scandella. Those are all unrestricted free agents. Your restricted free agents are Reinhart, Evan Rodriguez, Casey Mittelstadt, Victor Olofsson, Curtis Lazar, Brandon Montour, and Linus Ullmark. Tage Thompson's also a restricted free agent. So things are going to free up a little bit after next year, so you'll have a little bit more space. Your projected cap space next year, $32.938 million. That's pretty good. But you've got to re-sign some players. Would Taylor Hall be a guy that, if you traded it for him now and then re-signed, would he be able to fit the cap? What about some of the other options? How do you create cap space? How do you create this possibility for the Sabres to trade him? Or do you think that the Sabres should just move on and try and find a different asset? 803-0551, 888-552-550. You're more than welcome to provide your thoughts and get in on this discussion. Because I personally am trying to find a way to get Taylor Hall in this lineup. If Taylor Hall joins the Sabres acquire him, I think this team has found even more goal scoring that this team already lacks. I know they scored 6 yesterday against the backup goaltender Michael Hutchinson. But you've got a guy who has been a perennial offensive player throughout his entire career. Yes, there's been issues of health with injuries and him not being able to stay healthy through an 82-game schedule. He's only done it once in his career where he's played a full 82 games. After that, he's only played 76. That was the next highest total, and that was the year that he won the Hart Trophy with the Devils 2 years ago. 93 points in 76 games. Last year, he had a lot of injuries. 33 games he appeared in, 37 points. That's still good, though. This year, the team is very bad. The team is not good. The Devils, as of right now, just going to pull up the standings here. I was looking at him just this morning because I was kind of surprised that
the
Sabres are actually back in a playoff spot right now.
Devils are 9-11-4, 22 points on the season in 24 games.
They're not as bad as the Red Wings. The Red Wings are the worst team in the NHL.
Yeah,
remember that.
The
Red Wings are terrible.
They are allowing 110 goals.
The Red Wings are 5 points clear of the Devils and the Kings for the worst spot in the NHL.
They hemorrhage goals. Toronto is, I think, third worst in the conference at 91, and yet that doesn't touch Detroit's 110.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because the Red Wings have lost 6 straight games after already losing like 6 straight games in a row earlier this year. Well, there's a good reason because the number one, projected number one overall pick this year, Alexis Lafreniere, is supposed to be really darn good. Quentin Byfield's also supposed to be right up there as well. Another pretty good player, but Lafreniere is projected to go number one as he was the Canadian Hockey League MVP last year as a 16, 17-year-old. And is already just ridiculous numbers that he's putting up in the Quebec Major Junior League. But anyway, back to the Sabres here. The Sabres right now, 28 points, sitting third in the Atlantic. They're tied with Toronto. They have a game in hand on Toronto. They're 1 point ahead of both Tampa Bay and Montreal. And they're 5 points ahead of Ottawa. They're only 1 point back, though, of Florida for second in the division. Boston is running away with the division, 41 points. They are tied for the league lead in points with Washington. But the Sabres with a win tonight and a little help elsewhere, by the end of the night, could be the second-place team in the Atlantic with 30 points. If the Sabres see themselves as a realistic contender, and the chance to be in a playoff spot and contend for the playoffs this year, Taylor Hall would probably be the guy that you have to go after this offseason. Maybe at first as a rental, and then in the offseason you try and focus on re-signing him and convincing him to come back. But even then, I'm fine if you just go get him as a rental for now. Why not? He's a guy that, in his career, has proven that he could score. His career high is 39. That was the year that he won the Hart. But he's had goals, 27-goal year, 26-goal year, another 27-goal year. When he's healthy, he could score and produce, put up points. In his career, he is, let's see, my quick math, he's under a point per game player, but I mean, again, when he has had those healthy years, when he's been able to play extended time, he's pretty darn good. And he's primarily a left winger, and I know the Sabres have an abundance of left wingers on the team. Skinner, Olofsson, Sherry, Vesey, just a few of those guys that can play on the left wing. Other guys like Gergensons and Rodriguez. Larson can even play there. Asplund. They have an abundance. But what if the Sabres could come up with a trade that would allow them to be able to go out and get a guy like Taylor Hall? I think that it would immediately make them a team that could contend for a playoff spot. And yesterday, in the game against Toronto, I think another thing that hurts this team, yes, they scored 6 goals, and they have played better. I mean, they haven't gotten the wins. I mean, the Sabres over the last 10 games are only 3-5-2. It's not great, but the game against Boston, they were clearly better than Boston. Their special teams did them in, though. Their special teams has not been great. Now, mind you, over the 2 games, they haven't given up a power play goal after giving up a power play goal in 9 straight games. Their power play has kind of gone cold. They got to get that back going. Ralph Kruger has said The power play is the motor that runs the offense. I don't know if I necessarily want to rely on the power play to do that. You got to get even strength scoring, but they have to get the power play going again. But their even strength play has been much better. And yesterday it was much better. They scored 5 goals out of 6 at even strength. The 6th one was an empty netter. If you add Taylor Hall, that's another asset to add to your power play. Maybe then at that point you can deviate things a little bit, maybe mix things up in the lineup. Taylor Hall, if you want to keep Victor Olofsson up with Eichel and Reinhardt or Eichel or whoever you want to put up there on the top line, Taylor Hall's a good second line option. Put him on the second line. Then you have Jeff Skinner for the third line, or however you want to deviate it. Taylor Hall might be the guy that you're looking here if you're looking for one more piece to add to the puzzle for this year to say, hey, we need one piece, one guy that can help really kind of solidify this lineup and at least have us get to the playoffs and maybe be a contender. Taylor Hall might be your answer. But now the question is, what do you give up to get him? Obviously, I think you're giving up the first-round pick next year, 2020, for 2020 first-rounder. If you get to the playoffs, it's at least pick 16. And then you go from there. Because, again, anything can happen in the playoffs. You're giving up that pick. With Pierre LeBrun's suggestion of a conditional pick, if he re-signs, you're probably giving up a 2021 first-round pick. Then at that point, you have to look ahead at your roster and say, can we repeat this year and get back to the playoffs for the 2020-2021 season? Sabres have some work to do to add some players and re-sign some players, but they still have decent pieces that they can put into the lineup and legitimately say, yeah, we could go back. It's interesting because I think there are some assets that you can move. It obviously has to be dollars for dollars. But the Devils could easily say, we'll retain a part of Taylor Hall's salary, which teams have the luxury to do when they make a trade like that. The Devils could easily say, all right, we'll retain 25% of Taylor Hall's contract. And 25% of Taylor Hall's contract would be $1.5 million. So it frees up a little bit, but obviously that's negotiable when it comes to the terms of trade. So what could the Sabres do with the little cap space that they have? Well, obviously you could try to trade a defenseman. Would you be able to move a guy like Ristolainen? Would you be able to move Bogosian or Marco Scandella, who are all $4 million plus players on this team? Scandella, $4 million per year. He's a unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Bogosian, $5.142 million unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Ristolainen still has 2 more years on his contract after this year, $5.4 million. Connor Sherry, looking at forwards now. Connor Sherry you can move out for dollars. He's $3 million on your cap. You can maybe move Jimmy Vesey out, $2.275. Maybe, and I don't know if I'd be willing to do this yet, maybe if you have to move a guy like Sam Reinhart, you move him out. $3.65 million. Maybe just in terms of the level of player that you have to move in order to go get Taylor Hall, who's a former Hart Trophy MVP player. You'd probably have to move a prospect out or two, defensive or offensive prospect. I know I had a tweet earlier that said Lawrence Pilot. Move Pilot. I like Lawrence Pilot. I'd rather keep him than move him, but at the same point, if you're going out to get a guy like Taylor Hall, who is a very good offensive player, and if he could stay healthy, you might have to go do it, make that move, and swallow the pain of losing a really good defensive prospect like that. Jacob Bryson, Will Borgen, I don't know how some teams will value those guys, but those are prospects. You look at forward, I mean, obviously you're not giving up a guy like Dylan Cousins, I don't believe. You're not moving Cousins. I think you're keeping him. CJ Smith, maybe you move. Maybe you move some of the other prospects that are in the system. Matias Samuelsson is a guy that is available, that would be available for trade. How do some teams view him? What about a guy like Marcus Davidson in Sweden? Even Rasmus Asplund, if you really have to move someone. And like the insiders that we talked to here on WGR, Darren Dreger, Elliot Friedman, all of them have said, you know, the problem is long-term injured reserve. That's what's hindering some teams from making trades like this. Sabres have their own problems with long-term injury reserve. But I'm looking at this and I'm just thinking, you got to find a way to acquire scoring. You got to find a way to acquire some offense. And primarily a top six guy. Taylor Hall on many teams is a top three guy. The top line left winger. A perennial offensive playmaker. He can score goals. He can move the puck. And this team needs some better puck movement. Yesterday, they could have scored more if their puck movement was much better. The team struggles as of late to move the puck real well. After the beginning of the year, it was like, man, it's nice to see a team that can actually hit some passes and go tape to tape and transition really well. Sabres have struggled lately at that. If you get Taylor Hall, I think the Sabres would be a playoff team. Excuse me. And again, it all depends also on what you're giving up. But if you could get Taylor Hall at a decent price and get him ASAP, Sabres would be much better off that way. But again, the difficulties of trying to make a trade like that and what you'd have to give up is a factor. And, I mean, if you could figure out a way to have New Jersey retain some of that salary and you maybe move, I don't know, Marco Scandella, Connor Sherry, prospect like, I don't know, a Lawrence Pilot or a Matei Pekar or something like that, and then a first-round pick and a conditional first-round pick, that would be a win for me. But again, it's all about what Ray Shero would want to do as GM in New Jersey. But if you got any thoughts on it, feel free to call 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Give us your thoughts on a possible Taylor Hall trade. Also, give your thoughts on a grade for the Buffalo Sabres for the first 2 months of the year. But we're going to take a timeout in the time being. When we come back, we'll talk with Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com. We'll ask him maybe about Taylor Hall, about how his thoughts on the Sabres season is going, and you know, tonight's matchup, yesterday's matchup, and what he thought about the Sabres and what direction they're going moving forward. So we'll talk with Mike. We'll get your thoughts as well, and then we'll wrap things up here on this Saturday edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Brayton Wilson here with you, Derek Kramer producing on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're always looking to improve our team, and people always ask me that question, and look, when I have to have an answer. I have to talk to them about, hey, what discussions we're have going on. Bottom line is, I don't feel really comfortable about it until we get a deal done.
That Sabres general manager Jason Botterill joined Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on Wednesday before their matchup with the Calgary Flames. You can find that on demand at WGR550.com. You can also listen to it with Radio.com Rewind. Obviously, it's a 24-hour deal with that. But if you happen to miss any of the interviews that we have on this show within the 24-hour time span, you could easily just rewind on the Radio.com app. 803-0551, 888-552-550. So the Sabres last night, yesterday afternoon, getting a 6-4 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're back at it again against the same Toronto team tonight in Toronto. A 7 o'clock faceoff here on WGR with the Paul William Belts pregame show starting at 6 with Brian Koziel. One of those guys at yesterday's game who has a very good handle on what's going on with the Leafs and also with the Sabres throughout is NHL.com's Mike Zeisberger, who joins us here on the Wester Hotline. Mike, first off, we've talked a few times with you on the morning show with Howard and Jeremy, but thanks again for taking the time on the Saturday to chat here for a few minutes.
Thank you, and I noticed when I came on, I could hear the Michigan-Ohio State game in the background, exactly what I'm watching right now, so that was kind of funny. But yeah, thank you very much for having me, and we might as well just call it the Jack Eichel Bowl, because every time he plays the Leafs, we see this kid take it to another level. I mean, and that's, you know what, Braden, that's why I'd love to see a playoff series over a number of, there's a number of reasons, but you know, just the proximity of the two towns, how much they both love hockey. And, you know, then you get the sidebar of having a guy like Jack Eichel. You know, he's been teammates with Austin Matthews before. So they're friends, but they have a rivalry within themselves. And then given, like I said, the proximity of the two cities, I just think it would be awesome. There hasn't been a playoff series since 1999, and I just think it would be really cool.
Yeah, and even yesterday, I mean, it was the first matchup between both teams on the year, and they've still got three to go this year, one including tonight. But it never seems to disappoint between these two teams, whether it's in Toronto or in Buffalo, is that both of these fan bases, they show up to one another's games on the road, wherever they are, and it was exciting because yesterday you heard a lot of Leafs fans. There was a lot of blue and white in the crowd, but it seemed like the Buffalo fans, they were up for the task. Whatever fans they were going to be cheering for, the other fan base was going back and forth at each other. But it's good to see that it's kind of evening out, because especially with how bad the Sabres have been over the years, it's nice to see that, you know, maybe we're starting to see more of an even spread between both Leafs and Sabres fans here, with things improving here in Buffalo.
Well, yeah, and you know what, I was surprised to hear that the Leafs had won five consecutive games against the Sabres going into yesterday, because if you look at the history, you know, it doesn't seem to matter where the Sabres are, especially in Buffalo. I can't tell you, I don't have the record right in front of me, but I think the Leafs' winning percentage is something like 300 or something like that, something dismal, like 29, 78, and 3. I'm not sure the exact number, but in Buffalo over the years. And I know it's driven Maple Leaf coaches crazy. I remember when Pat Quinn in the early 2000s was coaching the Leafs. The Leafs, in progression, they would practice in Toronto and then take a bus to Buffalo. They would go the day before practice and then have a morning skate in Buffalo. They once even flew to Buffalo to start a road trip.
Hmm.
And it didn't matter what they did, they could not win in that place. And so it's always funny when I go home after one of those games, I always ask the border guards, you know, how many dismal Leaf fans do you see that are driving home? Because they go to Buffalo thinking it's going to be a sure win. And it never is. It's not even a win, but no, good on the Sabre fans yesterday. And you know what? The Sabres gave him a reason to cheer, especially Eichel. I just thought that he was by far the best player on the ice, and not just offensively. I mean, there was one play in the first period where the Leafs had a two-on-one, and it looked like they were going to have a partial breakaway. And Eichel caught up to the play from the Maple Leaf zone and broke it up. And that's the type of effort that you expect to see from a captain and from one of the elite players. And Jack Eichel was exactly both those things yesterday.
Right, yeah. Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com joining us here on the Wester Hotline to talk some Sabres and Leafs hockey here. And I just looked up that stat here, Mike. The win percentage for Toronto in Buffalo is only 31.5%. So it just goes to show just how the struggles for Toronto has been in Buffalo over the years. But I mean, you got the chance to watch the Sabres in person yesterday afternoon. And this season has been a kind of a roller coaster for the Sabres. Earlier in the year, in October, they went 9-2-2, one of the top teams in the NHL. And kind of like last year, they went down that roller coaster ride downward and really kind of sank down into a place they really didn't want to be. But over the past four or five games, Buffalo has really started to show a little bit better effort. And they've gotten rewarded with a couple of wins here and there and some other good efforts. But what are you seeing from from this Sabres team from a national perspective from you in Toronto?
Well, first of all, I think that they're a better team than they were when they went through their funk last year. If you remember, it was either 10 or 11 games that their unbeaten streak a year ago, but early in the season. But if you remember, like, I think something like ridiculous, like six or seven of those games were overtime or shootouts. I like this team a lot better. I was at the game against Calgary on Wednesday. I thought the Sabres played well enough to win that game. They had some great looks in the third period and just couldn't put the puck in the net. But, I mean, losing Rasmus Dahlin, for a few games with the concussion, that is, I think, really hurt. I mean, I think this kid has a world of ceiling to him. I saw him in the press box yesterday. He told me he's doing better. So that's an optimistic sign for Sabre fans. And I just think that Ralph Kruger brings a type of steadiness and experience and calmness. You know, if things aren't going well, he's not about to make some knee-jerk reaction. I like him as a coach. And, look at it. This has been one of the weirdest National Hockey League seasons that I can remember. I mean, we're 2 months in. We have seen so many different streaks. I mean, at the beginning of the season, the Tampa Bay Lightning couldn't win a game.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Maple Leafs went on a six-game losing streak, and they fired their coach. Now they're doing a little better. But you're seeing in Montreal, the same thing has happened. The Sabres had that nice streak going on a winning streak, and then they went into a losing streak. So it's been a long time where I've seen this many teams have prolonged winning streaks or losing streaks. And sometimes, like in the Sabres case, and in the case of the Maple Leafs, both in the first 2 months of the season.
The Sabres have been a team that has been dealing with some injuries, and they've got a boatload of defensemen. And I mean, they're a team that's looking to make a deal to try and get some sort of offensive help. And obviously now Pierre LeBrun earlier today tweeting out that a team like the Devils are listening to Taylor Hall and listening to other teams about some potential deals. And not that a deal is coming anytime soon, but, you know, it's certainly something to pay attention to before the trade deadline on the 24th. I mean, where do you think the Sabres are in terms of, okay, if they make a move, are they a playoff team, or could they contend for a playoff spot? Or do you think that the teams behind them, like Toronto and Tampa Bay and even Montreal, are still the better teams than Buffalo is? Or actually, do you think that with one of those moves, something like that, do you think they could contend for a playoff spot this year and break their streak that they've had of going without being in the playoffs?
Well, I thought that Buffalo was going to contend for a playoff spot even before, the way they are right now. I still do. Tampa, I think, is by the time all is said and done, they're going to, I would be shocked if they didn't, end up at least second in the division, but we'll have to see about that. Here's the thing, if you're going to bring a guy in like Taylor Hall, we all know that he's going to be asking for the moon. He's in the last year of his contract. So if you're the Sabres, how much are you going to give up for just this year? Are you confident that after this year, you're going to be able to sign him? Because if you aren't, like I said, how many resources do you want to give up to get a guy of that ilk? We've heard the Montreal Canadians' names come up as well. You know, Taylor's from Kingston, so we'd have to see if, you know, 2 hours away from Montreal, if that would have any be any kind of factor. I don't think it really will. I think it's going to be mostly something based on money and competitiveness. But, you know, I would like to see the Sabres do something to bulk up on the front end. And I think that, you know, defensemen, as the season goes on, they are such a valuable commodity that I think the demand for them will be probably become more and more. The question is, how long do you wait to make a deal like that? Because you want to at least, if you want to bring in a forward, don't you want to get him in there as many games as possible so you have a chance to win as many games and accrue as many points as you can? So the trouble with waiting is, at what point, if you're on the outside looking in at the playoffs, how late is too late? I mean, you could bring a guy in, but how much impact would he have? So, you know, I would like to see Jason Botterill step on the gas pedal and do something in terms of helping the Sabres up front.
I think a lot of people around here would like to see that happen sooner rather than later. Just a couple minutes left here with Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com joining us here on the Wester Hotline. Let's switch over to Toronto here, because the Leafs certainly have been an interesting team. Of course, you mentioned earlier they went on a 6-game losing streak early in the year. They fired Mike Babcock as the head coach. Now, Sheldon Keefe has been already introduced as their new head coach, and it was kind of expected that he was going to be the new guy. Just your thoughts overall on what's going on in Toronto right now, and they've certainly got the talent to turn things around, but how are they going to be able to keep going moving forward here to get themselves back to the type of expectations that they are that they have on them?
Well, the vibe in I haven't seen it like this. The difference in the vibe in the dressing room is so evident. I mean, guys are having fun. You know, Babcock's a good coach. I see, like, a lot of the people dumping on him. Look, you don't win a Stanley Cup and 2 gold medals, Olympic gold medals, if you're not a good coach. And, and you know, people say, oh, if you have that talent, you should always be able to win. Well, you know, what have we been saying about a team like Tampa? I mean, they got lots of talent, and I think John Cooper's a great coach, but they haven't won. The fact is, Mike Babcock did. But Mike Babcock's old school. He's more of a disciplinarian. And you know what? I mean, there's a shelf life to those guys. Sheldon Keefe came in. He's done a wonderful job of accentuating the positive and telling the guys, you know what? We want you to use your skill as much as possible. I mean, Tyson Barrie, anybody that's watched him in Colorado, such a good offensive force. The first 23 games of the season, he didn't have a goal. He was trying to play under structure. You know, he seemed very confused. Sheldon Keefe comes in, and Tyson Barrie scores a goal in each of the first 3 games that Sheldon Keefe is a coach. He told them, you know what, you pinch whenever you can, join the rush whenever you can. And I think that the way the Leafs are going to win is that, you know what, they're not the best structurally. They don't have the best defense. But what they do is they have a lot of skilled offensive players. And I think now what Sheldon Keefe is saying, you know what, instead of trying to put round pegs into square holes, let's just accentuate your skill, and that's the way we're going to win. So, you know, it's a small body of work. He's 3-1 in 4 games. Yesterday was the first hiccup, and they were still in the game right to the end. So we'll see. We'll see if this is, you know, if there's a duration to his impact. Or, as we know, a lot of times when you change coaches, you know, the first couple weeks we see tangible results and then it dies off. I don't think it will. And my last point on Sheldon would be a lot of these players, I think 14 Maple Leaf players on the 23-man roster played for Sheldon Keefe in the American Hockey League with the Toronto Marlies. So they understand what he's trying to do. It's not, you know, people say, oh, it's a new voice in the dressing room. They've heard, a lot of these guys have heard this voice before, and I think that's a positive as well.
All right, Mike, so what do you expect from tonight's game? Obviously, it's going to be Keefe's first game coaching in Toronto. They've been on the road this entire time since Babcock was fired, so first game back in Toronto in what seems like forever for them. But what are you expecting from tonight's action between both these teams?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of emotion in the building. It's also Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of emotion in the building. I think it's going to be one of those things that we, Braden, that we see in the playoffs a lot of time. I think that the first 10 minutes are going to be vitally important to the Sabres. I think the Leafs are going to push. You know, a lot of people are enthusiastic about seeing the new coach. And so Carter Hutton is probably going to be busy through those first 10 minutes. But if they can get through that, we saw, especially off the transition game, how dangerous the Sabres can be on odd man rushes. So if they can survive the first 10 minutes, I think that they'll have a competitive chance to win tonight.
All right, Mike. Well, obviously, it's always great talking with you, and hopefully we get the chance to talk again soon. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks for having me on, and everybody in Western New York, thanks for the hospitality the last three days. Happy Thanksgiving weekend to all of you, and we'll talk soon.
Anytime, Mike. Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com joining us here on the Wester Hotline. We'll wrap up the show when we come back in just a minute here on WGR. My thanks again to Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com, who recently just joined us here on the Wester Hotline. If you missed that, you can find it either on demand at WGR550.com, or you can use the rewind portion of the Radio.com app and rewind and never miss a moment of WGR again, driven by Northtown Automotive. Also, thanks again to Matt Beauvais and Sal Capaccio for joining us here on today's version of Sports Talk Saturday. Nate's expected to be back next week, and I'll be on periodically here throughout the rest of the Bills and the Sabres season. And again, thanks again, everybody, for tuning in and calling in today and being a part of today's show. Definitely a fun show. And again, if you missed it, go back, rewind, or check it out on WGR550.com in the on-demand section. Thanks again, of course, as always, to Derek Kramer for producing things here on Saturdays, keeping things at bay. And we'll be back again with local programming on Monday, since there's no football action going on tomorrow here with the Bills. So we'll talk to you again Monday morning with Howard and Jeremy here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.